The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So the title of this talk is Faith. And I was reading a book called To You, The Zen Sayings of Kodo Suwaki. And I don't know if you can see, but I love this picture of him. I don't know if you can see it from way back there, but it's a great picture. Anyway, which are the short teachings of Kodo Suwaki, written down by his disciple Uchiyama Roshi during some of his lectures, and then turned into a book. For those of you who don't know, Kodo Suwaki was a great Japanese Zen master at the time when Reverend Master Jiyu was in Japan. And when she had her Kensho, Koho Zenji wanted to make sure that people believed that she had had one. So he sent her to Kodo Suwaki to confirm it, and he did. There was one saying about, I was reading this book, and there was one saying about faith that jumped out at me, and I can't tell you why at this point anyway, maybe later, and made me decide to do a Dharma talk on faith. The teaching was this: this body is the whole universe. If you don't have that kind of faith in yourself, you'll have a weak point you won't be able to hide. As soon as you get jealous or moody, you'll show it. So I will get back to this quote, but I wanted you to hear it at the beginning of the talk because that's what inspired me. This talk is for those with little faith and for those with deeper faith, because we all go through difficult times and have periods of doubt. During a monastic retreat a number of years ago, I believe I was doing well during the retreat. I was meditating in the Buddha hall and doing fine, and suddenly this great doubt arose and would not depart. Perhaps my faith wasn't strong enough to see that it was just a thought that I could let go of. It just kept running through my head, and I was believing it. When the meditation was over and I went outside, I heard something like this: "You don't really believe that, do you?" And the doubt departed, because it was coming from something deeper than me. We really do get what we need if we don't give up. Reverend Master Jiyu used to say that we can let the feeling of doubt arise and pass without believing it. I'm going to talk now about my own history with faith. When I came to Shasta Abbey for the first time, which that was actually 1972, something resonated in my heart as true. But I was cynical at the time, and I thought, well, this is nice, but I probably won't be back. However, I did come back actually pretty soon, and pretty soon I asked to become a monk. At this time, besides being cynical, I also had no faith in myself, and I was desperate. When my doubts were strong, pretty early on, and I was thinking of leaving, Reverend Master Jiyu asked me to leave, and she said to me, "I have faith in you, but until you have faith in yourself, I can't teach you." It's interesting that as soon as I left, I wanted to come back. I guess I did have some faith, and maybe it took Reverend Master asking me to leave that brought it out. At one point in this journey, I was staying at the YWCA in Oakland, and I meditated all day long. Two books sustained me, one of which was the poem At the End of the Light of Asia, and I read it every day. I was allowed to come back after a few months. I now believe it was because of all that meditation and the training I was doing and the diary I kept during that time. When Reverend Master Jiyu read my diary, she must have seen that I did have faith, and she told me I could come back. However, I still struggled with faith, and I kept on going. The Buddhas and ancestors were surely helping me as I struggled with my life, and even my being asked to leave was really a help in strengthening my faith. I don't think it was only desperation that kept me here, that kept me going, but an underlying faith, some positive moments in my meditation, and the encouragement and kindness of monks. Sometimes when a person is having a very difficult time, they turn away from their meditation. I have talked with a few people in spiritual counseling who told me they were having a very difficult time, and I asked them, well, are you keeping up with your meditation? And they said no. Perhaps they didn't have enough faith in themselves to believe they could turn towards their meditation to face their difficulty and be helped by their meditation. It is very painful when you believe you can't look within and that there is nothing there to help you. It can be a scary time. And many of us do go to someone for reassurance. And there generally isn't anything wrong with that, but that can't be all we do. There was a monk here many years ago who I used to go to for reassurance whenever I was having a difficult time. She always reassured me, and I felt better. Then one time, she was really tired, and she said, you have what you need within. And that was a great gift to me, because I had nowhere to go but within. And I did, and I was helped. So if you're having a difficult time, remember, you have what you need within. This is a great mantra. We all have what we need within, whether we know it or not. Kota Sawaki talked a lot in his book about each of us being fine just as we are, and we don't need to be like anyone else. We are all one with the universe, and there is no self to compare ourselves to in actuality. When he talks about being one with the universe, I would substitute that with knowing that at heart we are one with the unborn, or with Buddha nature. In other words, trusting that we have what we need within. I'd like to read a quote from The Most Excellent Mirror Samadhi, which I have always liked, and that is, the sage will tell a trainee who is feeling they are low and all inferior that on their head there gleams a jewel diadem, and on their body rich robes hang, and at their feet there is a footrest. If the trainee hears this teaching with surprise and doubt, the sage assures them that if cats there are some kinds, as also some white cows, that perfect are just as they are. That can be very reassuring for those who have doubts about their Buddha nature. And I guess it's been happening. It happens all the time. All through the years, people have doubts and people have little faith. I was out at our hermitage in Scott Valley recently, and during morning service one day, I offered the merit of morning service to my brother, who had died a number of years ago, and to all my relatives, both living and dead. And suddenly, many of my relatives from the past who I had difficulties with appeared and scared me. And almost immediately, I heard the words, the Dharma heals. And my relatives and my fear departed. So I will give you this teaching, that when we turn to our meditation and training, the Dharma heals. From such a rough start and through many difficulties, I have now been a monk for 50 years. During this time, I have often called an Avalokiteshvara for help when I needed it. And this has helped me a lot because I did get help. So I would like to recommend that you keep up your training whether you feel faith or not. This is really important because we don't always feel faith. So I'd like to reread the quote I read at the beginning of this talk. This body is the whole universe. If you don't have that kind of faith in yourself, you'll have a weak point you won't be able to hide. As soon as you get jealous or moody, you'll show it. When I was a new monk, as I said, I had very little faith in myself, and I was often jealous, angry, or both. I was so jealous of a monk who had a religious experience that I stayed angry for 3 months. It's a wonder the other monks put up with me. And after 3 months, something inside said, "Isn't that enough?" And I finally let go of my anger and had to accept the situation and go on. It, of course, would have been better and less painful if I had accepted it right away, or at least sooner. Now I still have jealousy and anger arise, but I let them go sooner and don't tend to act on them. You may not see your body as the whole universe, or as I said before, being one with the unborn, but you can have a deep faith in yourself and the Dharma. And this comes about by always going on, or always getting back on the path, as it says in the scripture of the Buddha's last teaching. When you're having a difficult time, and you're having doubts about yourself and or the teaching, and you want to just say, "Phooey, that's it," you will be fueling your doubt. But if you keep on going no matter what, you will be encouraging your faith and heading in the direction of ending your suffering. Maybe you do need one big phooey and then carry on. After all, life can be really difficult at times, and it's not a problem to be having a difficult time and to be struggling. It's only when we give up that it's a problem. And remember that you can take refuge. This is a quote from the talk I gave last September on perseverance. When I look back at my years of training, I can see that I have changed a lot. If we continue to train despite difficulties, and I've had my share, you will change. You will more and more let go of the self, and faith grows deep within you that you can't deny. You know that you need to keep on going, doing the best you can, no matter what, or your suffering will increase and the pain will never end. When I was at our hermitage recently, I started preparing this talk, and a few hours later, I felt that lack of faith I had many years ago, and it was truly painful. So I deeply sympathize with people who feel that way. Another quote on faith from the book to you is, "Faith means having faith that you are the entire universe, regardless of whether your intellect happens to find that convincing or not. Only this faith can support the religious effort that never tires." This can be something to contemplate. Here are a few other quotes about the universe and faith that I'd like to read to you. Wait a second, where's the other one? Okay. He talks about non-self. This, I like this. This expression, non-self, doesn't mean being an idiot. It means being one with the universe. He talks like this at times. Non-self means not going against what is necessary. It means obeying the order of the universe by functioning along with the universe. And then I've got a few more. Yeah, I like this one. "Step forth in your practice, walking in your straw sandals, getting blisters in search of the one thing without personal nature, without profit. This practice isn't something outside. It's turning the light inwards towards the inside of the self. You hear about the Dharma gate of peace and happiness, but this peace and happiness isn't how the world understands it. Finishing once and for all what the worldly peace and happiness is, what the worldly peace, finishing once and for all with that worldly peace and happiness is true peace and happiness. Something came to mind a few days ago. Everything arises, everything passes away. If you don't hold on to your suffering, it may just be gone the next day. And this was because I was suffering the day before, and it was gone the next day. And it's also very helpful when you're not feeling so great to keep a bright heart, to be kind to others, and not only think about your own suffering. Kodo Suwaki talked a lot about the importance of Zazen, or serene reflection meditation, and training for your entire life. We start the 10 precepts retreat this evening, and the precepts are a large part of our training. I would like to end with one last quote from Kodo Suwaki. Buddhist compassion is different than mere pity. His compassion provides a perch we can't fall from, no matter how we may stumble.